Amen. Amen. In Christ alone. If you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn in your copy of God's Word to John chapter 15. The book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15. A linebacker that does not tackle. Hey, they kick off next week. A cleanup hitter that does not swing the bat. A shooting guard that will not shoot the ball. An infantryman without a weapon. A fisherman that does not cast a line. A fireman without a hose. A painter without a brush. A teacher that does not teach. And a branch that does not bear fruit. What do all of these things have in common? They take up space. They just take up space. There is nothing more useless than a plant that does not produce fruit. You know, this year I had a pretty pathetic garden. In the winter, I killed off the grass. In the spring, I turned over the dirt, I broke up that grass, and I planted seed. In the summer, I watered it. I even pulled weeds out of it. And these great big plants came up, but there was very little to no fruit on the branches. And I thought to myself, a plant that does not produce fruit is useless. It just takes up space. You know, it may have been the gardener that failed to produce a crop in my garden. Maybe I didn't tend the plants the way I should have. Maybe I didn't add the correct nutrients to the soil that it needed. And I must admit, there were some days that I was absent from my garden and neglected to go out and inspect the fruit. But a fruitless branch in God's garden? Impossible. Read with me John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. A fruitless branch in God's garden? Impossible. You see, in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 3, the Lord is speaking. He says, I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment so that no one will damage it. I guard it night and day. God is a good gardener. And what Jesus is saying is, he is the true vine. He is the true Israel. And those that would produce fruit, it's not just being a part of Israel that matters. It's being in Christ. And if you are here this morning and you are in Christ, the promise is you will produce much fruit. So, are you abiding? Are you abiding? Number one, what I want you to see is that we are to keep constant company with Christ. Keep constant company with Christ. In every condition of life, we are to keep constant company with Christ. But don't conditions and circumstances in our lives often change? How are we to remain in constant company with Christ when we are so easily discomforted by the afflictions that come into our lives? How are we to remain in constant company with Christ when we're so distracted by the things of the world? So often, aren't we just filled with doubt and fear? So is it going to be in our own strength that we are to keep in constant company with Christ? When God the Father, who is the perfect gardener, who keeps his eye night and day on his garden, whenever he comes and he prunes, sometimes it's painful. When he cuts back that you may produce more fruit, how do we remain in constant company with Christ? Is it in our own strength? Church, Jesus is reminding us here that we are always to be in him and to remain in him and to stay near to him. And in every condition of life, we walk with him and we talk with him. And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus enjoys spending time with you. Individually, you. He enjoys spending time with you. The Bible says he's not ashamed to call you his brothers and his sisters. He loves you. And whenever our circumstances change, he's not left us in our own strength to stay in constant company with him. Read with me John 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Number two, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. The Bible calls him our advocate. The Bible calls him our counselor. My favorite is Comforter, but not necessarily the comforter in our own language that we know today. What the Bible means by the Holy Spirit being our comforter is one who comes alongside us. J.B. Phillips says it's someone to stand by you. And what he does is he undergirds you with courage and with strength, and he gives you the fortitude to withstand the things of life, because here is the promise: you are going to have trouble in this world, but you must remain in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is committed to keeping us in Christ. And I want you to understand something. It's that he dwells in us, mark the word in verse 16, forever. Mark it down. The Holy Spirit dwells in us forever. He comforts us and he teaches us. And I want you to notice here, church, the discriminating grace that is found in verse 17. The Holy Spirit is not just given to everyone in the world. The Holy Spirit is given to the children of God, those who come to Christ and place their trust in him. At that moment, you receive the Spirit who dwells in you forever. And this is a promise of God for his children. Ezekiel 36, 27 says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Is not this a promise from the God who cannot lie? Here is the promise. He puts his Spirit in us. His Spirit dwells in us. You know, for God to become man, Emmanuel, for God to walk this earth, and for Jesus to have a human body was miraculous. But don't miss this miracle, that the very Spirit of God would come and take residence in sinful people like us to comfort us and to help us forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So what results from this Spirit who dwells in us? Well, the promise is that we will walk in careful observation of all of God's ordinances, and we will walk in his statutes. And that, my friends, is obedience. And that's what we see in John 15, verse 10. The Bible says that if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 8 from chapter 15 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Do you see? This cannot fail. Jesus says, remain in him to obey him. And then he says, I'm going to undergird you with the Spirit of God who will take residence in you, who will help you, who will give you courage in all of life's circumstances. You can stay constant communion with Christ. He will not fail. And so how does he do this? He does this by teaching us the old things concerning Christ. The old things concerning Christ. You know, the Spirit being God, he could take any subject matter and bring it to mind. He could equip us and give us knowledge and teach us in all things, but he confines himself to the things of Jesus Christ. Primarily today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that he glorifies a resurrected Jesus Christ. He teaches us truth, and he sanctifies us, and he edifies us. We don't become foolish and act silly whenever the Spirit of God fills us up. When he dwells in us, we walk in obedience to our Christ, and we do the same thing he does, and that is glorify Jesus. Church, he teaches us truth. So where do you turn? Let's say you're searching the Word of God, and you come across a difficult passage. Are you quick to flip over to Google or turn to your favorite teacher of the Bible? Here's what we ought to do. You read your Bible, you have a hard time understanding it, hit your knees and call out to the one who will teach you all truth. He leads you into all truth. The Bible says that he guides you into all truth. John chapter 14, verse 25 and 27 says this, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Church, there is truth found deep in God's Word that every child of God ought to go down into the minds for and search out and seek out and bring out and apply to their lives. These truths would help you to be more fruitful. Do not say that you cannot read God's Word. Do not say that you don't have time for God's Word. You get into God's Word, and when you come across something that you don't understand, you hit your knees and you call out to the great teacher who promises to lead you and to guide you into all truth. His Spirit dwells in you. These truths will bring great comfort to your life. But oftentimes, even this knowledge doesn't help the child of God. You say you can't understand and you don't know, so the Bible doesn't give you much comfort. Well, here's the office of the Holy Spirit. Here's his official role. It's to lead you into that truth. Just like a wounded soldier lying out on the battlefield, it gives him no comfort to know that there's a hospital miles and miles away. But let that medic, let that fellow soldier come and pick that wounded soldier up off the ground, throw him on his shoulder, and get him to the field help that he needs. That's rejoicing. That's healing. And that's what the Spirit of God does for us. You come to the Word, you know there's truth in here, but it's too high for you to reach. And the Spirit of God, as gentle as a dove, comes and he hands it to you, and he feeds it to you, and he teaches you, and this comforts you. And this is for every child of God in the room this morning. Praise God for our Helper who is committed to keeping us in Christ. You know what else the Spirit does? The Spirit brings us consolation. If all of us would just be honest with God right now, every single one of us have gone through a tough time. Every single one of us is probably going through a tough time. We have loved ones. We have sick ones. We long for people to be saved. And if we would just take off the front and just get real with God, we would say, hey, we are some needy people in this place this morning. And the truth is, that's why we came here this morning, because we need to hear from God. You see, the Spirit brings us consolation. He teaches us the old things of Christ. Many of you know this, but not all of you. 2018, your preacher was in a tough, tough spot. All my life, I'd considered myself to be pretty courageous. I didn't back down from a lot of things. But I have come to find out in eternal matters and things that matter spiritually, your preacher can be a coward. And he needs a helper. And he needs a comforter. And he needs someone who will take the words of Jesus and pour them into my heart and to undergird me with courage. I remember very clearly in Fort Worth, Texas, laying down by the couch one night, crying out to God and being in a miserable place for a long time, full of fear and despair and doubt. And all of a sudden, while I was praying, I heard a voice in my soul that said, "Take heart. Take heart." And I thought for a moment, could it be? Did Jesus just speak to me? I didn't hear a voice audibly, but in my soul, it was more real than anybody that said hello to me this morning. Take heart. And the reason I knew it was of God, because John chapter 16, 33, this is the words of Jesus. And what the Spirit does is he takes from the Father and he takes from the Son and he gives it to us. Take heart. And I've come to understand what Jesus wants me to do is take courage. Take courage. Every single one of us is going to need to be courageous. And you take courage and the Spirit of God will give you that courage. To be of good cheer. To take heart. Yes, this world is full of sorrows. But Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And when you trust the Spirit of God, he will take from the Father and take from the Son, and he will give it to you. It's the truth. This is his promise to us. He gives us consolation. There's one more thing that we see in these few chapters that the Spirit does for us. Not only are we to keep in constant company with Christ. Not only is the Comforter committed to keeping us in Christ, but thirdly, the Comforter convinces the world of Christ. John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. "But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." The Comforter convinces the world of Christ. He comes in, the Holy Spirit convinces us that apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, every single born-again believer has been convinced that there is absolutely no righteousness in me. And that's why we look to another. We cannot bear fruit apart from Christ. The Spirit convinces us of that and reminds us to stay near to Christ. There's no new life apart from Christ. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. A dead branch lying on the ground is good for nothing but being picked up and thrown into the fire. A dead thing cannot produce any living thing. And therefore the Spirit must come, and he does come, and he gives us life. And he does this by convincing, telling us that what happened on the cross was that a perfect man was criminally brutalized and killed and crucified. And the justice of the matter is that he was innocent and we are guilty. And the righteousness is that now God raised him from the dead and he seated him above the heavens and the earth at the right hand of the Father. And this tells us that Jesus is the righteous one, that he is the Son of God. And then what took place? That old devil, he was judged forever and ever. After the cross and when Jesus rose from the grave, forever and ever, the devil knew that he had been defeated. And the Spirit comes and he convinces us of that. And you know, apart from the Spirit, we can't understand anything spiritually. You know, some of you this morning in this very room may be sitting next to someone who does not have a clue what's going on right now. Hasn't heard a word, truly heard a word out of my mouth. Spiritual things are discerned by the Spirit. This is exactly what the Apostle John says in Revelation 1:10. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. Apart from the Spirit, you cannot hear the words of Christ. But what the Spirit does is he comes and he convinces you of your sin. Perhaps he's doing that this morning. You know that an innocent man was crucified for your sins? Would you believe on Jesus Christ for your salvation? I mentioned earlier the primary task, the primary ministry of the Spirit of God today is that he glorifies Christ, and he glorifies Christ alone. He takes from Christ and he shows it to us. And if we are going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, may we make that our aim as well. Glorify Christ by praising Christ and telling the world who he is and what he has done. So many, I've heard, I've been there, I understand, I can sympathize with you, but you tell me that you don't share Christ or you won't come out to share Christ because you're so concerned about getting tongue-tied or not knowing what to say, or you feel like you have to wait for the exact right moment, and then you wait for that right moment, but then something happens and you back off and you get to the point that you have never shared the gospel. My advice and my encouragement to you this morning is to repent, because you're not trusting the Spirit of God to do what he alone can do. He will give you the words to say. He just wants you to be available and open your mouth that he may speak through you. It's not your message. You are just a messenger. And if the Holy Spirit aims to glorify the resurrected Christ, the best that we can do is to do what he does and to glorify the resurrected Jesus Christ, the one, the only one, who is righteous, who was crucified for our sin, buried, and raised to life. Would you bear much fruit? Then simply tell others of who Christ is and what he has done. Trusting the Spirit will live up and keep his word, that he will do the convincing. The Comforter convinces the world of God. Church, my main point this morning is that the Spirit remains in us to comfort us and teach us and convince us of our need for Christ so that we will remain in Christ and bear fruit unto him. So a couple of ways to respond this morning. Are you abiding in Christ and bearing fruit? Or have you been trying in your own strength to produce fruit? That's a question that all of you can answer. But as God walks through his garden this morning, up and down the rows, in between the aisles, and he inspects the branches for fruit, is he finding any? The promise from Jesus is that those who remain in him will produce much fruit. They will be branches that bear fruit. Song of Solomon says in chapter 4, verse 16, may my beloved come into his garden and eat its choice fruit. In chapter 7, verse 13, it's that we save up this choice fruit for Christ. Perhaps you've been straining and striving to produce fruit so that others may look and say, man, he is a good-looking guy. Look how good he is for Christ, and you glory in that. You know, I've cut open my fair share of watermelons that look great on the outside, and I opened them up and they were rotten as the day is long on the inside. I've bit into peaches that promised to be juicy and sweet on the outside, but whenever I bit into it, it was dry and putrid and I couldn't get it out of my mouth quick enough. God knows what's on the inside. And as he inspects his garden, are you producing fruit? Because if you are, it's for Christ alone. You save up your choicest fruits and you save up your best fruits, and off the praise and the glory that comes from your mouth, you give it back to Christ, because it's the Spirit who produces it. And all he does is he gives to us that we may give to the one who deserves it all. Number two, are you allowing the Holy Spirit who dwells in you to comfort you? Or are you living discouraged and distraught? Are you being taught by the Holy Spirit? And are you being convinced of your need in every circumstance of life for Jesus Christ? If not, would you trust him? Would you trust the Holy Spirit that he will do what he promises to do and not doubt him? And thirdly, have you been brought from death to life? Some in this room are content with the first work of the Spirit, that is regeneration. And you're perfectly content to stay a babe in Christ all the days of your life. It's time to grow. Get in the Word that you would be a branch that bears fruit unto Christ. But you know, a dead thing can't produce any fruit. A dead thing can produce nothing. Listen to the Spirit of God this morning as He convinces you of your need. And why not today? Listen to the truth of the Spirit who cannot lie when He tells you that you need Jesus. And if you will come to Him, Jesus says, come to Me. Trust in Me. Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on Him and live. If you will do that today, the Spirit of God will dwell in you forever. He will make you alive. You only have to believe and live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. God, we are so thankful for Your Word. We're humbled by the truth that a holy God would take residence and dwell in sinful people like us. Lord, may we trust You more and more. Lord Jesus, may we